Welcome to the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. This is arts and cultural heritage producer Jeff Carmack. And as the winter season descends upon the St. Cloud area, the river starts to freeze, KVSC trivia teams begin their registration, and local musicians dig out large and cumbersome instrument cases and begin to slowly and laboriously work their way towards the Pioneer Place Theater for Tuba Christmas. Certainly a tradition in St. Cloud, it is also nationally as well. So on today's episode of the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota, come along to the Pioneer Place as we experience this year's Tuba Christmas and all the goofiness, yet poignant kind-heartedness that you can imagine this annual gathering inspires.
So how long have you been involved with Tuba Christmas?
Well, this is my first year helping, but I've come for it the last 3 years.
What do you find so attractive about Tuba Christmas?
I love the joy of it, and it's a fun, festive event. I love watching the players and the history of, that comes out about it, the variety and ages and people who have played, who this is the one time they play all year or they play every day. So
how does somebody get involved with Tuba Christmas? They just show up with a tuba?
Seems like it. I don't actually know. So should probably ask Mark Springer.
No, it seems like a pretty neat thing. They get like some hats and stuff out of it too, it looks like.
We do. Hats and scarves for sale, which you can also get on the website. And if you play with Tuba Christmas, then it's fun to have the festive gear.
I am Mark Springer. I'm the Dean for the College of Liberal Arts, but I have been a professor of low brass, tuba, trombone, and this is how I'm involved, by leading this annual event.
How long has Tuba Christmas been in existence?
My recollection is 1974. The first concert occurred in Rockefeller Center in New York City in tribute to Bill Bell, very famous American tubist and teacher. And since then, every year.
How long has it been going on here?
This is our 15th year, and our 9th at Pioneer Place here in downtown St. Cloud. And so we're very thrilled.
About how many people show up to perform? Looks like quite a lot of seats on the stage here.
Performers, we usually get between 40 and 50. Sometimes we've gotten more than that, never less than.
Well, what do you think it's such a neat thing? What do people like this?
Well, I know the players love it. It's a chance for them to come together as tubists, low brass players, and share in some wonderfully written and arranged carols for their instruments. They get to play the melody, which is not what is normal for a tuba player. For the audience, they love the spectacle of it all. There's a lot of brass, shiny, low tones on stage. You can't beat it, so it's a great time.
Nice. And why do you think there's so many low brass players around the area? I mean, who would have thought that, you know, Central Minnesota would support so many low brass players?
Well, you know, there's a polka band every night somewhere, right? So there's got to be tuba players out there. But I think it's the nature of music these days. There's a lot of folks who chose music and play music as avocation for fun, for release. And some of the high school kids who put their horns away after high school are rediscovering what they can do later. And so we have quite a generational spread of players in our group.
Kind of a neat deal. The first one I did was at Harmar Mall, back when that was down in north, around the north suburb. And I didn't know about it until then. And then Mark started it up here. Pretty cool deal.
Yeah.
We had a guy from Annandale, Ken Rudolph, who's a baritone player, just 98 now. And this is the second year he hasn't come.
Oh, wow.
So he was always who's the oldest? 95.
Yeah.
And the sucker could still play, too. It was pretty amazing.
Well, I got something that's nice about it. You know, it's like, you know, people pick up an instrument like in high school. Maybe they do a little bit with it in college. But, you know, especially for a tuba player or, you know, or any of these low brass, you're going to make a living off of that?
Yeah. There got to be some seats up there, you guys.
And now on the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota's look at Tuba Christmas, we go from talking about their oldest member to talking to their youngest member.
Yeah, he's looking really cool.
How about some chairs down in front or something?
What's your name and what do you got going on here?
My name is Blake and...
You're part of Tuba Christmas, but it's low brass as well. What do you got there? You don't got a tuba, you got something else.
A trombone.
So how old are you?
I'm 10 years old.
So how did you get interested in the Tuba Christmas?
My dad did it 1 year, and he asked me if I would like to do it this year. So he heard this radio station talking about it and said, like, the youngest was, like, 9 years old. So he said I was able to do it, so I'm like, sure, I'll do it.
So how long have you been playing then?
This would be my second year.
Right on. You dig in the instrument, music?
Yeah.
I think it's fun.
Right on. So what kind of expectations do you have about what's going to go on up there on stage?
I'm prepared for anything, really.
So what's your favorite Christmas carol to play then on the trombone?
I don't know, but I do like Jolly Old St. Nicholas. And then there are some versions of Jingle Bells that are fun to play.
So you think you're going to continue on with music, I take it?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, that's a pretty neat thing. Mm-hmm. So you want to say a little something to your man? Like did you have to force him into doing this, or you just wanted to come along?
No, my son's already been on stage. I mean, this is his second year playing, so he's already done concerts. First concert, he was able to do a solo, or actually it was more of a small group ensemble right up on stage.
A duet,
yep. And
which is a small group if you think about it.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is.
And he's involved with great theater, so he's comfortable being on stage. So to me, this is not that big of a deal. And I played years ago, and I still enjoy it. He's using my horn now, and I had to borrow one from Cathedral High School tonight so I could play.
Well, there you go. Yeah. No, it's a pretty neat thing. It's like also so multi-generational Tuba Christmas then.
Oh, it is. That's why I'm doing it, because when he said he wanted to do it, I'm like, all right, I'm for sure going to come and play. And
nice.
I did this one other year, and I just really liked it. So.
Oh, very groovy, nice. Very groovy. Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to it. I keep missing it each year just because, I don't know, work gets in the way or schedules or whatever, and I'm just like, no, I got to.
I think a 5:30 show is tough.
I know, it kind of is.
It's like rushing off of school, have some Subway, and now it's performing soon. Yeah.
Well, that's the life of a performer. You got your call. You got to make it.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Well, looking forward to it. We'll see you guys up there.
All right.
Yep.
All right.
As you know, this is
an unusual type of group. Many of us in the low brass world grow up playing in bands, maybe orchestra, but to bring us all together and play tunes like this, actual melodies, is quite unusual. It all started in 1974 with a dedicated concert to a very famous tubist, not a name I would expect you to know. His name was Bill Bell. And Bill Bell was a very famous tubist in New York who, in addition to playing in the New York Philharmonic and other big opportunities in the city, was also a teacher and taught generations of tubists coming through. And one of those students decided to pay homage to that teacher in a Christmas Day concert. It happened to be that Bill Bell was born on Christmas Day. And in 1974, they brought that legacy of people together, that teaching and that mentorship that Bill provided. And we have a member on stage who we'll get to in a minute, who was at that first concert. But in 1974 and since, there's been an annual set of concerts that are called Tuba Christmas. And they happen all over the country. There are 9 of them in the state of Minnesota on the website right now. We are kind of in the middle of the pack of those that started as late as November, or late November, and we'll go through the holiday season. So if you happen into a mall somewhere or some other community, you come across this kind of same cohort of oddity, and you can walk up and say, I know all about Tuba Christmas. So with that, we're going to continue on with We Three Kings.
So I've seen you've done a few Tuba Christmases. Yes. Here. I can tell by the buttons. Explain the buttons real quick that you're wearing.
Well, first off, this is my grandpa's vest. So me and my grandpa started off doing this 8 years ago. And so after he passed away, I carried on the tradition. So every year we get a button, just starting to rack them up, trying to get a whole collection going.
Nice. So, yeah, that got you into the Tuba Christmas. Kind of a family tradition then.
Oh, yeah. Every year.
Nice.
Every year in Irish coffee.
What is it's nice and early in the night, and, you know, but yeah, the trends, you know.
It's cold out.
Yeah. It's wintertime. It's good stuff. Very good stuff. So what did you like about this year? Is it kind of the same every year, a little bit different? Or?
You know, I live for this show. Like, the low brass people, they don't get their shot all the time. So when we get to come up and do this show, it's like a big thing. It's a big moment for us. And it's only, you know, maybe 45 minutes. But I think we all get up there and we enjoy the hell out of it because it's our thing. You know, they can't take that away from us. We love it.
I know, usually you think like tuba, trombone, and all that. It's the kind of foundation background of the music.
Yeah.
And
so it's interesting to hear the melodies played low, you know, it's cool.
Mm-hmm. So is this more difficult music than you're used to, or?
No, not really. No, it's you know, it's caroling, it's pretty, it can be technical, but, you know, I think most of us got the skill. You know, I played baritone in high school, you know, I played drums. I'm a drummer, I'm a punk drummer. Ha! But I still come back and do this show every year just because I only pick up my horn maybe twice a year, but every time I do, it's still there.
Hey, music is music, you know.
A I love it. I hope more people show up next year, show up for the food shelf, diaper drive, all that stuff. Help people out.
You're in tune to 88.1 FM KVSC and the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota, where today we're at the Pioneer Place Theater for Tuba Christmas. It's an annual event that's been taking place in St. Cloud for 15 years, but it holds its origins back in 1974. And as we get back into the festivities, we're going to talk to a veteran of Tuba Christmas, SCSU music professor Christian Wombley.
I love Tuba Christmas. I've been playing since I was in undergrad in Washington, D.C., and I've been to a bunch. I played in West Virginia. I played in Washington, D.C. I've been to the one in Bloomington, Indiana, and I've played two different ones in Minnesota for a total of about 15 different Tuba Christmases over the years.
Wow, that's a lot, man.
Yeah.
What is it about that? What kind of energy is going on back there?
Well, you know, low brass players are a special breed, and I don't know if it's the having to lug around the big heavy brass instruments or what, but having to sit in the back of the orchestra all the time, but it's fun to be in the front and be featured. And what's really fun is a lot of the songs have little jokes thrown in. Some of them are typical low brass jokes, like playing National Emblem March in the middle of Jingle Bells. And some of them are just like a pretty version of Silent Night played all on tuba and euphonium. And that's a lot of fun, and it's not something that we always get to do as low brass players.
Well, it's neat. It's a big community thing, too. It brings people out, you know? So, yeah.
it definitely does that. And it's always the energy level when you walk in and you see a line of people already outside on a cold winter day just to hear a bunch of volunteers play Christmas tunes on tuba is great.
Well, not just volunteers. They got to pay to play.
Well, that's right. Yeah. Not just volunteers. Yeah, we had to pay. And being for those associated with the university, being the last day of class, it can be a pretty stressful time too. But it's a great way to blow off a little steam, almost literally, at a special time of the year. And to see so many people downtown in the community in the cold is very exciting. So I can't wait till next year. If only there were a Tuba Easter.
Or a Tuba Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day, well.
Oh, yeah, there you go. That'd be some interesting arrangement, because the arrangements, you were saying they had to change the arrangements a little bit.
Yep.
Because, you know, some of these songs are actually written for tuba or low brass, so.
That's right.
I don't know, maybe that could be a next project, you know. Maybe you could just start rearranging various songs for tuba.
I imagine Barry White would work pretty well. A little Marvin Gaye mixed in, you know.
Yeah.
It'd be a great Tuba Valentine.
Thank you.
this event, you said, in 1974, when Harvey Phillips was organizing this event for a bunch of tuba players, you don't just go to the local store and buy music like this for a tuba ensemble. So he needed someone to collaborate with in creating the arrangements that you hear. And a gentleman who was his and a prominent composer, arranger in New York at that time was a gentleman by the name of Alec Wilder. And Alec took the project on with the same kind of spirit in which it was offered and donated these, dedicated these to that event. And they've become the staple, the book from which we play. And over time, things have been added. But by and large, these really wonderful settings of these tunes not only speak to the beauty of the carols that are behind them, but also the spirit of the instruments. That one last had that certain March flavor to it that really honors the tradition of the brass instruments behind them. So we're thrilled to have them in literature, and it's easy to kind of ignore them as just cutesy, but in fact they're really very interesting and wonderfully arranged for a lot of like-sounding instruments. So we hope that you enjoy them as we go on. Well, as I said, we're so pleased to have you here and that you're having such a great time. The holiday season is always that kind of festive feel, and there are melodies in the greater scheme of things that give you that moment of repose, that moment of reflection. And we'd like to dedicate this to those that maybe were lost this year or were far from in this holiday season, and we'd love to be closer. So for me, and I think it's become our tradition with this group, that is Silent Night. And we hope you'll enjoy this arrangement of Silent Night.
Okay, so what did you think of Tuba Christmas?
It was fantastic. I loved it. This is the first time I've ever been to it, but my nephew played tuba in it, so I thought we'd come this year, and it was fantastic. I loved it.
Yeah, so who's your nephew then? Who's playing?
This is Toby Ellis, my nephew. He played the tuba in that show, and he's done it for a couple years now. This is the first year I was able to come. So, yep, it was fantastic. I thought it was just great. It was really uplifting. It was the perfect amount of time. It was a perfect Christmas concert. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's kind of a unique thing. I mean, how is just hearing a bunch of tubas and other low brass different than, say, I don't know, your regular Christmas carol type scenario?
I think it's just the audience participation, the inclusion, the songs that everyone recognizes, the challenges of some of the music for low brass instrument. I think it makes it really interesting.
And it's a community thing, too. All these folks kind of, they all live close around here.
I think it's kind of, it's a following. People come year after year after year for this particular event. First time I've been in Pioneer Place for an event, so I think I'll come back next year.
Right on, right on. Well, thanks.
Well, it's just a fun opportunity to enjoy some music in a really unique way. It's just, there's nothing like it. It's very Christmassy and lighthearted and so neat to see all those instruments on stage.
It conveys the spirit of Christmas in a very original and entertaining way.
How many of these have you been to?
This is our second.
This is our second one, yep.
And the first one was just great.
We're addicted. Nice. Yep, as soon as the doors opened, went in, and the place filled up, there was standing room only. So we're here having our happy hour, so we will be on time. Yeah.
Nice, nice. And what do you got to say to anybody who's wondering about coming down to Tuba Christmas maybe next year?
Oh, I highly recommend it.
Definitely. It's a great way to kick off the holiday season in downtown St. Cloud.
Mark Springer does a great job of conducting the band, and hats off to him.
Absolutely.
And thus, Tuba Christmas comes to an end in St. Cloud in this installment of the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. And if you missed this performance at the Pioneer Place, which is one of 303 performances as listed by TubaChristmas.com, you can travel up to Bemidji on Saturday the 17th or various locations in Texas, as it appears that that state is hosting the most performances in the week right before Christmas. Once again, to get involved with Tuba Christmas next year, check out TubaChristmas.com for links to more information, or you can find it on our website at KVSC.org under the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota tab and the link for this story. This has been Arts and Cultural Heritage producer Jeff Carmack wishing you a happy holidays, and the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota is made possible through support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. It has been produced at KVSC, a proud member of Amper's Diverse Radio for Minnesota's communities.